Testaments. We'll go to the Old Testament today for our scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. This is the one of the stories about Jehoshaphat, and there are several stories about him that show the hand of God and the power of the Lord, because indeed there are battles that are in doubt as to whether or not we're going to come out victorious. And there are situations that we face. We wonder, am I going to make it through this? But praise God, there's an answer in the life of Jehoshaphat and in his circumstances that I think bear out a good plan for us as well. Here is his prayer, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Let's read together. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Praise God. Eyes upon thee. Praise God. Somebody said it in a little rhyme. Eyes on the prize. Praise God. And we have goals and we have things that we want to accomplish, and we need to be single-minded. And certainly in our walk with God, our eyes stay upon him. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Now, let me just give you some background information about Jehoshaphat and his journey and his walk with God. It starts in 2 Chronicles 17. It's several chapters that are devoted to King Jehoshaphat from Judah. He had a righteous reign. He walked in the ways of David. He sought the Lord. He didn't follow after Baal and the other false gods that were so prominent for Israel and for Judah. Jehoshaphat did not follow after them. He sought the Lord. He walked in the commandments of God, and the Lord was with him. These are all phrases from 2 Chronicles 17 to exemplify where it was that Jehoshaphat had his focus. He sent princes and Levites to teach the law of the Lord, and during this time, it was a time of peace. Nobody made war against Jehoshaphat because the Lord was providing for him. And possibly nobody made war against him because he had an army of mighty men. Yeah. Mighty men of valor. And thankful that David had that number as well, and that distinction of men who served him. And likewise, Jehoshaphat, several generations and kings later, would have that same aspect of those who were loyal to him and faithful to him and following after him. Mighty men of valor, and they numbered over a million, 1.16 million or so. Ahab was the king of Israel in chapter 18, and he persuaded Jehoshaphat to become his ally, probably because he wanted to take advantage of the large army that Jehoshaphat had of mighty men. And he decided that they would go together and conquer Ramoth-Gilead. Jehoshaphat, however, wanted to inquire at the word of the Lord. This is part of that, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Jehoshaphat was willing to follow that. Can we inquire at the word of the Lord? And Ahab trotted out all of his prophets, 400 of them, 400, who all had the same message. Yes, go and conquer. God will deliver into the king's hands, and so on. One named Zedekiah even picked up some horns of iron and pranced around there in front of the thrones and said, this is how you're going to conquer at Ramoth-Gilead. somehow it didn't ring true for Jehoshaphat. Yeah. Somehow he recognized it was all display. Yeah. He needed something a bit more substantial. He needed something a little more solid. And he said, "Don't you have a prophet of the Lord here?" After 400 did their thing. "Don't you have somebody who hears from the Lord?" And Ahab told him, "Yes, there's one named Micaiah, but I don't like him because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me." He had his paid prophets. He had those who would dance to the tune that he played. He had those that would respond when he summoned them. But Micaiah didn't prophesy good. But Jehoshaphat convinced him to bring Micaiah before them. He was summoned. And the messenger who went to get him informed him, "Everybody else has prophesied good. You better fall in line. You better go along with what everybody else was saying. Speak thou good." Well, when Micaiah came into the presence of the two kings, he first, in a mocking way, repeated the message of the other prophets. And Ahab told him, "Didn't I tell you to say nothing but the truth?" I wonder if that's where that court thing came from, about the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Ahab told him that. "Didn't I tell you to say nothing but the truth?" So then Micaiah told of a lying spirit that came into the mouths of the prophets. And he spoke about seeing Israel having no shepherd and no master. In other words, there was no king, there was no leader, there was no ruler. He was gone from the picture. Ahab should have gotten the picture. He should have recognized that something bad was going to happen. But instead, Ahab remanded Micaiah to prison with just bread and water to sustain him. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat went into battle at Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab disguised himself. He thought he would take some precautions here. Maybe something was going to happen the way Micaiah said it was going to happen, and I better take some steps here. "But you, Jehoshaphat, you put your kingly robes on, and you go ahead and play the part of the king that you are, and we'll go into battle." Well, the king of Syria that they were fighting against had directed his forces only against Ahab. When you see Ahab, you go after him. Ignore everybody else. Just focus on Ahab. When they saw Jehoshaphat and his kingly robes and his special chariot, they thought, "Aha, here's the king." And they pursued after him. They compassed him about with their chariots. But Jehoshaphat cried out. He began to pray. He began to call out upon the Lord. And the Lord helped him. Praise God. And made the enemy depart. An archer, however, shot an arrow almost by chance. And it flew through the air and landed exactly in the spot where Ahab would be wounded. And he lasted through the day and through the battle, but he died at sundown. Just as the prophet said. One prophet in the face of 400. The majority is not always right. Just because everybody's going that way, just because everybody's saying those things, just because the majority has that particular kind of message, does not mean it's going to be victorious. Does not mean that is the right way. Walk the ways of God. Rely upon Him for your strength. Praise God. Let the power of the Lord come forth in a great way. Jehoshaphat was reproved for being an ally to ungodly Ahab. But thankfully, he corrected his ways. In 2 Chronicles 19, he continued his godly reign. He went to the people throughout Judah and brought them back unto the Lord God. Amen. He corrected them. He helped them. He sustained them. He brought them back to the Lord God. He set up judges. He set up Levites with the instructions, "Deal courageously," he told them, and the Lord shall be with the good. And that's the way it turned out. But now, the situation becomes drastic. And our story we pick up in chapter 20 with three armies arrayed against Judah. Any of the armies of Ammon and Moab and Edom would have been a difficulty. But three of them together, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, became a great multitude. And the advancing armies may have tempted them, may have prompted them to take their eyes off of God and worry about what they were facing and feel overwhelmed about what they were up against. But Jehoshaphat and all of Judah purposed in their hearts to seek the Lord. They proclaimed a fast. They gathered together to ask help of God. They unified in their purpose before God, and that became their strength. All of the cities of Judah, the Bible says, came to seek the Lord. I like what verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 20 says. All Judah stood before the Lord. Their little ones, their wives, their children, they all came together in a unified effort to seek the Lord. Oh, thank God for a family that serves God together. Thank God for a city that reaches out to God together. Thank God for a nation that would put the Lord first and look to Him. It's best for everyone to serve and to seek the Lord. Praise God. And Jehoshaphat prayed and reminded the Lord about Abraham, his friend. The Lord doesn't forget his friends. Praise God. He doesn't leave them high and dry. He called his disciples friends. Amen. And Jehoshaphat may have remembered his own father, Asa, and the battle that he faced. Asa had an army of 580,000 mighty men of valor. These were arrayed together, but they faced an army of Ethiopians that were 1,000,000. How much is 1,000,000? 1,000,000. That's pretty overwhelming odds. 300 chariots. But here was Asa's prayer, and this is Jehoshaphat's dad now. This is the heritage that he had. This is what he could remember. This is what he could stand upon. 2 Chronicles 14:11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. Oh, hallelujah. When our eyes are upon him, when our eyes are looking for his help, when our eyes behold his majesty and his power, thank God he is there to provide the answer. The prayer was answered for Asa, and the Lord smote the enemy. And so Jehoshaphat knew, keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. The Lord had power and might in his hands. They acknowledged, we have no might. We have no plan. He said, neither know we what to do. We don't have any way to advance against these three armies that are coming before us. We don't know what to do. And oh, praise God. When we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling like we have no answer, when we're feeling like we have no recourse, remember the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. A great company was coming against them. They knew the reality of what they faced. They weren't just whistling in the graveyard, so to speak. There are three armies that they faced vastly outnumbered their men of valor. And the report of a great multitude against them was something that would cause them, I'm sure, to have fear. But oh, thank God they kept their eyes upon the Lord. Yeah. Our spiritual warfare, according to Ephesians 6, is up against sometimes overwhelming odds. We're against the wiles of the devil. We're against principalities and powers. We're against the darkness of this world. We're against spiritual wickedness. But thank God the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked, the darts that the devil would throw against you of doubt and deceit, the wicked words of his followers and those that would try to distract you. Thank God the shield of faith is able to quench every one of them, and you come forth in victory. Oh, yes, there's a battle. Oh, yes, there's a stand. Oh, yes, you get thirsty and tired and fatigued, but thank God there is victory. If you stand upon the Lord and upon his word, the sword of the Spirit you can grab a hold of, which is the word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. Amen. It's able to defeat the enemy. Glory to God. Keep your eyes on him, not on what's against you. Amen. We don't know what to do against disease and against sickness. We don't have the answer. Medical science is not able to bring forth. We don't know what to do about the battle against the devil in the world, against self and sin, against carnality and society. We don't have the answers, but I'm keeping my eyes on him. He's the one who's going to lead me to victory. He's the one who's going to provide the way. He's the one who's going to give the answer. And the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst. Praise God. That's the answer that they were looking for. The Spirit of the Lord was in the midst of the congregation. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord shows up for the showdown. I'm thankful that he provides the answer. I'm thankful that he's there. And the prophecy came forth. Be not afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's. Fear not. The Lord will be with you. Praise God. They took the words of the prophet. They heard the words from the Lord God, and their eyes remained upon the Lord with faith and trust, with belief and obedience. Praise God. And the victory plan was given to them. And that plan was praise. What a strange way to fight a battle. But Jehoshaphat encouraged them to believe. He said, believe the Lord your God. He said, believe his prophets. Amen. Oh, the mighty men of valor and so on were certainly willing to step forth into the battle. They were willing to go forward. But Jehoshaphat said, I want those who can sing to step up here. I want those who can praise to come forth. You're going to lead. You're going to go ahead. You're going to go before. You're going to praise the beauty of holiness. You're going to praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. And when they began to sing, when they began to praise, when they began to worship, when they began to lift up the name, oh, thank God, the Lord brought the victory. The Lord brought the answer. The Lord provided the way. Hey, my friend, be sure you're worshiping. Be sure you're lifting him up. Be sure you're exalting him. Praise God. Because the Lord can step forward with that power and blessing and might. God did the work. I can't tell you how it happened, but God brought victory against all odds. It happened in Gideon's time. It happened when the four lepers went to the camp of the Syrians. God brought the victory against all odds. They preserved their unity. And disunity erupted amongst the enemy. Ammon and Moab were arrayed against Edom. I don't know how the Lord brought that about. But these armies began to fight one another. And when Mount Seir or Edom was eliminated, Ammon and Moab began to fight against each other. And when the praisers and singers came forth, and the army following behind, all they found was a bunch of dead bodies. Praise God. Oh, and joy began to erupt. Hallelujah. Worship began to spread. Hallelujah. Praise began to come forth. Oh, hallelujah. And Jehoshaphat led Judah and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The Lord made them to rejoice over their enemies. Thank God. When you step out in faith, when you step out in praise, when you worship the Lord and exalt his name, thank God his power is there. His presence is there. His promise is fulfilled. His goodness is given. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Eyes on him. Amen. Some Greeks came to Philip. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They had the right focus. They had the right desire. Praise God. Remember when Nathanael, Philip's brother, was told, "We have found him, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael's question, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and see." Come on and find out. Praise God. And now, these Greeks have come to him. We would see Jesus. Praise God. And all those disciples could point in the right direction and identify the one who would heal the sick. Amen. Heal the blind. Raise up the lame. The one who would walk on water and calm the storm. The one who would deliver from disease and deliver from demons. The one who would raise the dead. Oh, yeah. Come on and see him. Praise God. He's the one you're looking for. He's the one with the answers. He's the one with the power and might that you need. He's the one that can bring deliverance. He's the one that would die on the cross, be laid in a tomb, but come forth in power and resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Philip would say, "Show us the Father. That will be sufficient. That's what we need. That'll be good." Jesus answered, "Philip, have I been all this time with you? Have I been here with you so long and you've not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Oh my. If you can grab a hold of that truth, if you can grab a hold of that aspect of the Word of God, if you can identify who Jesus is and all the power that he represents, his name above every name, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Hallelujah. Thank God we can put our trust in the one who is always going to bring victory. He's always going to provide the power. There's always going to be might and strength with him. Keep your eyes upon him. Glory to God. John saw the revelation of Jesus. Jesus was in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which are the churches that the Spirit would speak to. When John saw Jesus in that tremendous revelation, he was overwhelmed and he fell at the feet of Jesus. But Jesus touched him and said, "Fear not." Praise God. John had written, "Every eye shall see him." Every eye. And we know the scripture says every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Praise God. And so John's revelation is tremendous. In Revelation 22:4, he talks about the redeemed. He talks about those who are going to make it into that heavenly realm. Those who are going to be in that new Jerusalem. And the rejoicing that they're going to receive, because they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. Praise God. What an opposite situation from what the Bible talks about of a name of a man, 666, being upon their hand and in their forehead. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to fall into that deceit. I don't want to go along in the devil's plan and in his way. But thank God I can keep my eyes upon him and make sure I arrive in that heavenly place. And John said it in his letter, his first letter, in chapter 3 and verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now your experience is real. Now your relationship is powerful. Now you know the name above every name. Now you've been baptized in the name that brings salvation. Hallelujah. Now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. Not sure how it's going to turn out. Not sure how God is going to change this vile body to be like unto his glorious body, but he has the power to do that. Not sure how this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Not sure how this mortal is going to have immortality, but I know he can do it. I know he can bring it about. I know he can fulfill his promise, and I'm going to keep my eyes upon him. Hallelujah. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glory to God. Stand with me now. Hallelujah. Thank God that there can be that promise that we live our lives by day. We see the things that are happening in the news. We see the things happening in our communities and in our country and around the world. And we wonder, how is it going to turn out? Keep your eyes upon him. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We wonder how the Lord is going to bring us into victory when there's so much that is overwhelmingly wicked and so much that is evil. But oh, thank God, he brings his power into play and we serve him continuously. Hallelujah. United with him. One mind and one accord. United in his word. United in his name. United in his spirit. To the point that we're going to be together forever. Hallelujah. And serve him and walk on with him. In all of these aspects, Jehoshaphat should have learned the lesson. Stay united.
Right.
Keep following him. Keep walking with him. That should have been first and foremost in Jehoshaphat's mind. The lesson that he had learned and the reproof that he had from the prophet when he had aligned himself with Ahab should have been there and guiding him. Instead, 2 Chronicles 20 ends with Jehoshaphat joining with Ahaziah. Ahaziah, the Bible said, who did very wickedly. What in the world was Jehoshaphat thinking? How did he forget so quickly the victories that the Lord had brought him through? Maybe because of the victories. Maybe because of the euphoria and the ecstasy and the excitement of the victory of the Lord. He thought, everything's good. Everything's fine. I don't have to be on my guard. I don't have to worry. God's given me great victory. But he joined with Ahaziah and the prophecy from the Lord came and told him, the Lord hath broken thy works. He had built ships with Ahaziah. They were going to have a shipping empire of some sort, and they were going to increase greatly their standing and their goods. But the Lord broke the works, and those ships didn't sail. Don't make mistakes like that. Don't lose your unity with what's victorious and what's ultimately going to triumph. Don't walk away into things that the Bible says are ultimately going to fail, going to fall, going to be broken. Stay unified with him. Keep your eyes on him. It may be good now. It may be cool now. But life has a way of bringing things that are so challenging that you won't have the answer. You won't know the way. And you better have your eyes on him. Let's come and pray today. Let's come and pray. Thank God he gives the victory. Thank God he makes the way. Thank God he provides.
When my Jesus,
he answers.
I shall see.
He ministers. He conquers.
And I look.
Praise God.
Upon his face.
Oh, yes.
One who saved.
Oh, yes. My eyes are on you, Lord. My eyes are on you. You're making the way, Lord. You're giving the victory, God. You're bringing us through, Jesus. We don't know what to do. We don't have power. We don't have might. But, oh God, we're looking to you. Our eyes are on you. We're trusting you. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name. Oh, God, I glorify you, Lord. I
glorify you, Lord. And I look upon his face. When he takes me by the hand,
oh, Jesus.
Leads me through.
Oh, Jesus.
What a day.
Hallelujah,
there is coming a day,
oh,
when no heartache
keep my eyes on you.
Shall come.
Keep my eyes on you, Lord.
No more clouds.
God, to trust you for victory, to trust you for power, to trust
no
you for might.
Tears,
oh, Jesus.